Good morning. Well, if you want to work your way on, we're going to get started. We have a great day today. We've got the full plaid. We have the word and music and baptisms. I don't think it gets any better. So, just a couple things. Like I said, we are doing the baptisms today. Also, keep in mind the connection cards are at your seats. If you have a prayer request or a prayer report, fill those out and toss them in the offering plate when it passes here in a little bit. I think that's really about all for the announcements. So if you'll stand with me, we're going to get started and we're going to sing Friend of God. Mm-hmm.
Good morning, everyone. So good to be in the house of the Lord, right? And it's not snowing, so got lots of reasons to praise the Lord. But this morning, I think God wants us to know that we're a friend of God, and that no matter where we've been, where we come from, He calls us friend. So if you would just sing with us.
Don't get too groovy. Baptize yourself.
Right. Like, might baptize myself.
James 2:23 says Abraham believed. How many believers here tonight?
This morning.
And it says it was accounted to him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. I thank God that He calls us His friends. In spite of all that we have done, if we're all living in Me, say all living in Me, all living in Me,
Scripture reading comes out of Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. Read this with me. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. Amen. Amen. Well, Misty is going to come forward, and she's going to share. If you'd like, you can take a seat.
The faith it takes to climb out of this boat I'm in and onto the crashing waves, to step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is and he's holding out his hand. But the waves are calling out my name and they laugh at me, reminding me of all the times I've tried before and failed. And the waves, they keep on telling me time and time again, girl, you'll never win. You'll never win. But the voice of truth tells me a different story. The voice of truth says, do not be afraid. And the voice of truth says, this is for my glory. Out of all the voices calling out to me, I will choose to listen and believe the voice of truth. Oh, what I would do to have the kind of strength it takes to stand before a giant with just a sling and a stone, surrounded by the sound of a thousand warriors shaking in their armor, wishing they'd have had the strength to stand. But the giant's calling out my name and he laughs at me, reminding me of all the times I've tried before and failed. The giant keeps on telling me time and time again, girl, you'll never win. You'll never win. But the voice of truth tells me a different story. The voice of truth says, do not be afraid. And the voice of truth says, this is for my glory. Out of all the voices calling out to me, I will choose to listen and believe the voice of truth. But the stone was just the right size to put the giant on the ground. And the waves, they don't seem so high, on top of them looking down. I will soar with the wings of eagles when I stop and listen to the sound of Jesus singing over me. The voice of truth tells me a different story. The voice of truth says, do not be afraid. And the voice of truth says, this is for my glory. Out of all the voices calling out to me, I will choose to listen and believe. I will choose to listen and believe the voice of truth. I will listen and believe. I will listen and believe the voice of truth.
We're going to take up offering at this time, so if I got to have a couple of ushers come forward. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you so much for our time together. We just pray that you continue to move and work in a special way today. Father, may all that we say and do glorify you. We ask this in Jesus' name.
May the angels protect you, trouble neglect you, and heaven accept you when it's time to go home. May you always have plenty, your glass never empty, you know in your belly you're never alone. May your tears come from laughing, you find friends worth having, with every year passing, they mean more than gold. May you you're never alone. Never alone. Never alone. I'll be in every beat of your heart when you face the unknown. Wherever you fled, this is a goodbye. My
with me, and we're going to sing this I Believe. And so sing along. I'm jumping.
I believe in the communion and in your holy church. I believe in the resurrection when Jesus comes again. For I believe in the name of Jesus.
Come on.
I believe in God our Father. I believe in Christ the Son. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Our God is three in one. I believe in the resurrection, that we will rise again. For I believe in the name of Jesus. I believe in God our Father. I believe in Christ the Son. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Our God is three in one. I believe in the resurrection, that we will rise again. For I believe in the name of Jesus. For I believe in the name of Jesus.
Now we're going to pray.
Father, thank you so much for our time together. And as we continue in our worship, Father, we're reminded about the God you are, the God of love, the God of forgiveness, Father. And one day we will rise again. And so, Father, we can't thank you enough for your willingness to go to the cross, Father, so that we could have eternity in heaven with you. And so, Father, we just thank you and praise you, Father, and we lift our hearts to you today, Father. You know our hearts, Father. You know what's on them, Father, and we just want to share those with you today, Father, and just pray that you will work in a special way today, Father. We have many needs on our prayer requests, Father, and so we want to lift those to you as well. Father, continue to be at work in those areas as well. And Father, may we never fail to honor and glorify you in all that we say and do. We ask this in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen. Go ahead and take a seat. And I want to start with this. And we just sang about, I believe, I believe, I believe. Yeah. Thanks for pointing that out, Tracy. That's what it, thank you, Ralph. Thank you. But how important, Tracy, is it in what you believe? How important is what you believe? It really does. And I think we can all answer that question. It's because what we believe really could determine where we go at the end of time, if you will. And so the importance of what we believe is really important. And so we're going to talk about that today. What does it mean to be spiritually mature? And that's kind of the question that was posed last week. What does it mean to be spiritually mature? And so here's an idea, and I kind of want to get your thoughts on this. Those that are spiritually mature get the best life on this earth and eternity. Does that sound fair? Those that are spiritually mature get the best life here on earth. I think that's true, and here's why. Because if you are spiritually mature, you're living in how God calls you to live. And so if you are being spiritually mature, or if you work your way up continually into maturity in the spiritual realm of things, I believe that you can and will experience the best things that God has in store for you. That's not to say that somebody just coming in to a relationship with Christ isn't going to experience the good things of God, because they will. But I think as we grow older and mature, that we one, gain a better understanding of God and what He has for us and the importance in it and all of those things that kind of come along with that. And so real maturity breathes life into everything. Real maturity breathes life into everything. And because as we mature in our Christ-likeness, if you will, we can begin to speak life into other, say, non-believers, for instance. And so maturity breathes life into everything. Your job, your family, your finances, your church. Because as you grow in the knowledge of something, do you not get better at it? Finances. Can you remember when you started working, for instance? I remember when I started working, I had plans to buy everything under the sun. Yeah, and the sun. Yes, yes. But as I got older, as I worked more, I began to understand that that isn't going to happen. Yeah, yeah. Luke is going to experience that very same thing. But as you mature, you begin to get a better understanding of what it is exactly you're doing and how to do it. And that all comes from God, because once we mature in our relationship, begin walking with Christ and mature, God opens up doors and we see things happening and we begin to understand and we grow and we grow and we grow. At least that's the plan anyways. It's a growing relationship with God, because it's like any other relationship, it's growing or declining. And there's only two directions in a relationship. It's either growing or it's declining. You're either going forwards or you're going backwards. One of the two is happening. The relationship is going forward and flourishing, or it is declining and going backwards. There is no neutral in a relationship, including our relationship with God. We're either going forward or we're going backwards, because if we are trying to sit in neutral, what is going to happen? You stop, because just like a car, you put a car in neutral and what's happening? You're going nowhere. You could, potentially. And so if you are not going forward, you have to be going backwards, because if you are doing nothing in that relationship, what is going to happen? Nothing. And nothing breeds declining. Because if you are putting nothing into a relationship, you are going to get exactly that. Nothing. And so the same is true with our relationship with God. And so you're either growing closer or you're growing apart. And we really shouldn't complicate it, because it's just a growing relationship with God. It's just that. God is in pursuit of you, and you are in pursuit of God. And so we talked about three things last week. We talked about spiritual intimacy, and that was what we discussed last week. The second thing was biblical knowledge. That engages your head. The spiritual intimacy is a change of heart. Spiritual intimacy, a change of heart. Biblical knowledge, that engages your head. And then three is holy obedience, and that engages your will. Okay? And so we covered the spiritual intimacy last week, and so today we're going to dive into the biblical knowledge aspect of things. And so to get your mind thinking and to ultimately give you a better understanding of God, so perhaps we should insert the question, is that true? Okay? Biblical knowledge engages your head. Okay? And so, should we insert the question, is that true? And here's why. So what is your source of truth? How do you know what is true? So what is truth, first of all? And so we've got three things. I want to share those with you real quick. We've got God's word. We've got people's word. And we've got our word. So how do you know something is true? Based off of those. Grab your Bibles and let's turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. When you're there, say amen. I'm turning to it myself, actually. I'm sorry, Sheila. 1855, if you're in the Pew Bible. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Amen. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 3, and we're going to verse 14, okay? 3, verse 14, and we're going to go up to 16. Let's follow along with me as I read. 14, but as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Amen. Amen. And so, Timothy is saying here is, Scripture is God-breathed. And so back to beginning, we said that it breathes life into everything. And so God gave us the word, and it is God breathed. And so he is breathing life into us through the scriptures. Amen? And when something is God breathed, it gives life. It gives life. The truth breathes life into the living. Have you ever heard the phrase, the truth will set you free? The truth will set you free. And so have you ever been seeking an answer to something and hoping that you'll find out the truth behind whatever it is you're seeking? And once you've found it, it seems as though you are able to get past whatever it is that you feel like is holding you back. It happens. And so if we are seeking the truth in something, in the scriptures, then it will help us advance. Because it is difficult to not know the truth in something and try and move on and live your life as if it doesn't matter. Because when it really comes down to it, it does. And I think that there is a peace that just hangs on to. It's kind of like catching your sleeve or your shirt tail or something on the door on the way out. It's just grabbing at you and holding you there. And so it seems as though when we find the truth behind something, that we can move on past whatever it is that's been nagging at us. And, you know, sometimes I think we have to accept that we may never know in some situations. We may never know in some situations. Because, you know, maybe somebody hurt you or something at one point, and then that person is no longer with you, and so you can't go and say, hey, why would you do such a thing? Or the I'm sorry isn't coming. Or how can I make it better? It's not coming. And so we have to find truth in God's word so that we can be able to get past whatever that is that's holding us back. Because there are those times in life where that just isn't going to happen. But there are many other times in our lives that that is the case, and we can seek out whatever it is that's holding us back and excel past that. And the truth is, God in God's word does the same thing, because we feel like there's something more often. Because I can sit here and I can tell you, I know that God has more for me. What that looks like, I don't know yet. I truly believe in my heart that God has big plans for me. I believe that. But I don't know what that looks like yet. And I'm okay with that, because I know in God's time he'll reveal that to me. And I just have to remain faithful and follow, grow in my relationship with God, and seek him out. And he will reveal that all to me in God's time, not Nathaniel's time. Because that's when it's best. That's when things happen. Like we need in our lives, and sometimes we don't know what it is. And so sometimes we just have that in our lives. Like we're feeling like there's something more. But when we finally get in God's word and God begins his transforming power in our lives and just begins to open our eyes to things and open doors, it's amazing what God can do when we seek him out. Get in his word. Be in prayer. And so God's word begins a transformation within us that wouldn't otherwise take place. And so when something happens in your life, when that question arises, is that true? If you hear something, is that true? How do you figure out what your opinion is, what you should believe? Do you go to God's word? Do you go to other people? Say, what do you think? Or do you just form your own opinion and say, this is what I believe, because it has to be true? God's word in the Bible should be the first thing we do in seeking the truth. Being in God's word familiarizes ourselves with God's word. It familiarizes us with God's word. And so our foundation is built on God's word. And so from there we go up, we build up. Our relationship excels forward or up. Growing, 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 and more growing. It's either moving forward and flourishing or declining. It's one of the two. Because when we allow ourselves to sit still in neutral, if you will, what happens here? Yeah, you're done. Because Satan loves an idle mind, an idle hands, idle feet. It's an open door for Satan to come in and begin that Rolodex of 10,001 reasons why you should not be accelerating. And so when you are sitting still, what happens to a pond? Anybody seen a pond? Or even, it doesn't even have to be a pond, maybe a big puddle. What happens to a pond or a big puddle that doesn't have like aeration or circulation in the water keeping it moving? It's nasty. It breeds mosquitoes. Bad things happen when something sits still. And so if we aren't accelerating in our relationship with God, if it isn't growing, then it's declining, because that's what happens with that little pond of water or whatever. It's setting in neutral, and so the decline starts. And so there's only two options here. And so then we allow people's word in, and they begin to take the lead in finding the truth in whatever it is we're seeking. And so if we are going to other people instead of God, their opinion, their truth, if you will, begins to take over. And so we have to be careful about what we believe and where we get our truth. Otherwise, we're in danger of believing half-truths. Because if it isn't the full truth, it's a half-truth, is it not? And so you have to settle it for it in life and the truth that you are going to believe. You have to settle for that truth if that's what you are going to believe. Are you going to believe the Word of God and the life-giving, the life-transforming power that comes from it? Or are you willing to settle for a half-truth, which brings lies and loss into the lives of God's people? Half-truths bring lies and loss into our lives. And I think that's what David was talking about in Psalm 1. Everybody want to turn to Psalm 1? 844. Page 844. If you're there, say amen. 1 through 3 is where we're going. Psalm 1, 1 through 3, that's where we're reading. Okay, I apologize. Forgive me. Okay. Psalm 1, verse 1. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by the streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. Amen. And so what I think is happening here is he's painting a picture. He's painting a picture. Much like we discussed last week, the tree continues to drive its roots down and it widens its base. And so we concluded, per the internet, that a tree does reach a max peak in height. But it doesn't stop growing at the base. It continues to grow and widen and drive its roots in deeper and deeper. And so David is saying here that it's like a tree planted by the water. And so if we imitate that in our Christian walk, if we never stop growing, much like David is talking about this tree, that it just continues to grow and widen its base. And we can do that how? Being in God's Word. Continually growing in our knowledge of the truth in God's Word. And so we, much like that tree, would continue to grow and drive our roots down into God's Word deeper and deeper. And so if somebody was to come at us with a half-truth, what do we have the ability to do? See the half-truth that they're trying to pass off. And so our knowledge continues to grow. We're like that tree planted by the water that just continues to expand in our knowledge. And so I think what David is saying here is you want that in your life. David's saying you want to be that tree planted by the water, continually growing. Don't you want a life that impacts others for the good? I think we all have a desire down in our heart to do good things. We all have the best interests at heart. We want others to succeed, I think. We want to see others come to the truth in God's Word, be saved, to be joining us and God in eternity. And so lean into God's Word as the first source of truth. the word. Lean into God. Ask God to reveal the truth in His word. Tell God you want to be like that tree planted by the water. Expand your source of knowledge in God's word and set all others aside. Because God's word is God-breathed. And so this is my challenge I want to leave you with today. When you feel like you're being challenged, turn to God's word first. And so one more. We're going to turn to James 1. James 1, 881. If you're in the Pew Bible. Or excuse me, 1881. Forgot the 1. Chapter 1. 1 through 5. That's where we're going. If you're there, say amen. Amen. All right, follow along. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes scattered among the nations. Greetings, trials and temptations. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may become mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. Amen. And so I think God is trying to help bring you along and make you one with him. Because God is saying, if you lack anything, ask. And so whatever comes your way in life, count it pure joy. Count it pure joy. And don't let half-truth breed lies and destruction into your life. Be a student of God's word. I don't know if you're anything like me, but I hated being in school. And so I had to work on this. Not so much obeying the word, really, but just getting in the Bible and reading, because I hated reading in school. I hated it. But if you're going to overcome and get better, you have to do it. You have to do it. And so let God's word breathe life into your life. Because maybe, just maybe, there might be an area in your life that needs some attention. We all have them. We all have them. But if we allow God in, we get into God's word and allow him to breathe the truth into our lives and allow that transforming power to take place, those areas in which God wants to put under construction will take place. And it will only make you a better person. It will only make you a better person. Amen. So, let God in. Let him work away. Tear up the streets. Rip up the sidewalks. Because he'll lay it down afresh. And it'd be a beautiful thing. Amen. Well, we did have a few baptisms today, but unfortunately we're down to one. So we're going to bring Corey up. There's a small video in there of Corey kind of sharing his heart, if you will. And so, Marcus, if you'll play that, Artie, if you'll come up, we're going to get started here. Corey Dean is going to be baptized. I don't know if you.
What does being baptized mean to you?
Being in the name of Jesus Christ.
Back that up 1 second. Why are we holding it, Tracy? Okay. Yeah. Marcus, turn that up a little bit. Okay, boss. Come on up.
What does being baptized mean to you?
Being in the name of Jesus Christ and in heaven.
Okay.
I want to be saved by the Lord.
Okay. And how will being baptized help you?
I'm sorry?
How will being baptized help you?
It would help me to be saved in Christ.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And what would you say to others that haven't been baptized? What kind of encouragement would you give them?
Take another step.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's a good chance to follow it.
Mm-hmm. Would you like to share anything from your heart before we close out?
Yes.
What would you like to say?
It's very good. I mean, read the Bible, for real. I mean, I read the Bible. It took me almost a good month. I mean, for real. I mean, my grandmother's always said, you know, sit down and read the Bible. And you know what I did? I sat down and read the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, it changed my life.
It does, yeah.
And you know what? It did. It changed my heart. I started reading the Bible. Boy, it just changed my life.
Mm-hmm.
And every day, it takes my one step at a time. I read the Bible every morning. If you're bored, pick up that Bible and read it. I mean, mm-hmm. it if you're bored or something, pick up that Bible, read it, and just keep reading until, you know, if you don't have nothing to do,
Life changing.
Sit down, go somewhere, Sit down somewhere in a quiet area, and just read the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And you wouldn't believe how amazing what God has to say.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing.
It is.
Boy, I read it, and I read it from the beginning of the Bible, and I made it all the way to John. And I'm still reading the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And it blew my mind.
Mm-hmm.
My heart changed. And now I asked the Lord to change my life. And now I ask the Lord to help me get baptized. I asked my mother if I ever been baptized. She said, no. Well, today is my day to get baptized,
mm-hmm.
to help to be saved by Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't want to go to the hell. I want to be saved up in the heaven.
Mm-hmm. Good.
Wardeen, have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior?
Yes.
Is it your intent to follow Him all the days of your life?
Yes.
We now baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Marcus, if you want to go ahead and start the Redeemed by Mercy Me, or Big Daddy Weave. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Yeah, so if you guys will stand, we're going to close our time out together by singing Redeemed, and that'll give us a second to dry off.
All my
child, lift up your head. I remember, oh God, you're not done with me yet. I am redeemed. You set me free. So I'll shake off these heavy chains and wipe away every stain. Now I'm not who I used to be, because I don't have to be the old man inside of me, because his day is long dead and gone. Because I've got a new name, a new life, I'm not the same, and a hope that will carry me home. I am redeemed. Shake off these heavy chains and wipe away every stain, 'cause I'm not who I used to be. I am redeemed. You set me free. So I'll shake off these heavy chains and wipe away every stain. Now I'm not who
glad you all could be with us today. Thank you for that. Go in His power, be blessed, be a blessing, and get in God's Word and seek out the whole truth and nothing but the truth. Amen? All right. Go in His power, be blessed.